Turn with me tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 58, if you would. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 58. I want to continue our study, and I'm moving right along through the book of Isaiah. We're getting close to finishing up, about seven more chapters after tonight, and we'll just mind the Lord after that, just see where the Lord leads. Enjoyed our study in the book of Isaiah. I hope that you have. I have thoroughly enjoyed studying and trying to bring some things out. I know that we have not, and by any means have not exhausted the study in the book of Isaiah. There's so much more that we can learn, amen, from the studying of the Word of God. And whenever I say we're coming to the end of our study, don't think that I mean that we've exhausted that. We have not, for you cannot exhaust the Word of God. We can start right back over in chapter number 1, and we'll find things in there, nuggets in there that we didn't see the first time. And so anyway, don't think that we've exhausted our study of the book of Isaiah. But I want to cover chapter 58 tonight with the help of the Lord. And you pray for me as I do so. Chapter 58, verse number 1 is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. And the reason why is because of what it says. And I'm a kind of a loud preacher, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'd rather be a loud preacher and everybody knows that I'm behind the pulpit than be one of those that's quiet spoken and everybody's wondering where the preacher's at. Amen. And I believe the Scripture teaches that the man of God ought to be loud. Amen. Ought to be able to hear him. And the Scripture says in chapter 58, verse number 1, "Cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Well, that's the command to Isaiah from the Lord. God says to Isaiah, "Lift up your voice, son, cry loud, preach hard, preach loud, so they can hear you." And also it says, "Show my people their transgressions." Now, I know in our day it's not very popular that a preacher preach on sin. But that's what that word transgression is. It's the sins of God's people. Amen? It's sin. And here the command is to cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Then it goes on to verse number 2. I'm just going to read all 14 verses and then we'll come back and look at a few things tonight. "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore, we have afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him?" These are questions that's being asked. "Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy help shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speak in vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, how about that now, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God tonight. I thank you for allowing us to be in your house tonight. Thank you for, Lord, all you've done, all the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us this week. Father, thank you for your protecting hand, keeping us from harm, keeping us from sickness, Lord, this week. I thank you, Lord, for all the blessings. Father, can't number them all here tonight, but Lord, you have been so good. And I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together tonight to read the precious word of God. Lord, and I pray that you touch me, the messenger, Father, tonight. Help me to say only that needs to be said. I pray that you illuminate my mind, guard these lips of clay. Father, I pray tonight, may your will be accomplished and your will be done. Touch every heart, every soul in this building tonight. Encourage us, challenge us, charge us from the precious word of God. And we'll thank you, Father, praise you for what you do. Have your will and way now. Hold back all the opposing powers. In Jesus' loving, sweet, precious, and holy name I pray. Amen and amen. As we begin to look in chapter 58, as I said at the beginning, I really like verse number 1. It's one of my favorite verses of Scripture because the Bible here is plain and simple. Says, for the preacher to cry loud and spare not. Amen. Or lift up his voice and let it be heard. God called Isaiah to preach against the sins of his people. Preachers speak against other preachers being emotional and being loud in their preaching. Yet here in the Scripture, God had taught Isaiah to lift up his voice like a trumpet. Amen. How many of you ever heard a quiet trumpet? I don't think so. They don't make such a thing. Amen. Listen, to lift up his voice like a trumpet and to cry loud. Preaching against sin ought to be loud. Amen. It ought to be where people can hear it so they'll know what the Word of God says and there won't be any question about where God stands or where God wants them to be at in their life. And so we understand that God has called Isaiah to do that and he instructs him to cry aloud and spare not. Don't hold back. Just preach the whole counsel of the Word of God and show Israel, show my people their sins. That's not very popular in our day. There's a lot of churches and a lot of pastors that don't want to preach on sin. There's a lot of people that will not listen to a preacher that preaches on sin. But yet God said in his Word for the men of God to cry aloud, spare not, and to preach and show my people their transgressions. Amen. I'm glad that there was a day in my life when there was a leather-lung man of God that stood behind the pulpit and told me that I was on my way to hell. If I didn't confess my sin, get right with God, I would die and spend eternity in hell. And he was strong enough and he cried loud enough that I heard the word of God. I seen my transgressions and turned from my wicked ways. Amen. Thank God for a preacher that'll preach on sin. Amen. Let me give you some things tonight real quickly about the preaching. As Isaiah begins to unfold his message that the Lord has given him, we'll see the character, first of all, of the preaching. Look with me in verse number 1. The Bible says that he was to cry loud. I've said this already, but preachers are to be heard. Amen. The character of Isaiah's preaching was to be loud preaching. Whether he had a PA system or not, he ought to be able to be heard. Amen. And that's the character of the preaching. The preachers should be heard for the preaching that they're doing. Now we notice also not only the sound of the preaching, but we notice the style of his preaching. Again, verse number 1, the Bible says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Not only was it to be loud, the sound to be loud, but there was a style of preaching. What was his style? His style was to lift up his voice like a trumpet, amen, and to preach the warnings from the precious word of God, amen. The preacher is to preach the warnings from the Scripture. God says that except a man repent, he shall not see the kingdom of God. That's plain plain and simple, that's cut and dry. God said if a man doesn't repent of his sins, he shall not see the kingdom of God. I think every man that preaches ought to preach it loud so everybody can hear that God said they're to repent of their sin. That's a warning, amen? That's the style of Isaiah's preaching. The preacher is to give a warning about evil lifestyles for those that are saved. Now listen, that's one thing to preach to the sinner that's lost, but it's another thing for the man of God to preach to the saints and their evil ways and their wrongdoings. Amen. And to preach it loud so they can hear it. Amen. And they need to hear it. The style of Isaiah's preaching was to lift up his voice and to warn the people about their evil lifestyles. Now, we'll look at some of that here in just a minute. But I want to give you point number three of the character of the preaching. We also notice in verse number one, to show my people their transgressions. Preachers are to preach against sin. That doesn't go over very well most of the time, especially when you're Sunday morning crowd or you're visitors. Amen. You know why people don't stay at Heritage Baptist Church? They don't come in and stay and hang around with us a long time. Because this old-fashioned preacher preaches on sin, and a lot of people don't like that. Amen. Hey, listen, I need somebody to look at me and tell me when I'm going in the wrong direction. I need a man of God to take the Word of God and preach it to me just where I am and just exactly as God said it, that's what I need because I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Amen? And I need the Lord and I need the man of God to help me and show me my transgressions and help me to make the right decisions. Amen? God gave us the Bible for a reason. Gave us a man of God for a reason. And listen, the character of his preaching was to cry loud, to lift up his voice. And then the style of preaching and the sermon was to be, show my people their transgressions. Now, keep in mind with me as we're reading this, he is talking to God's people. This is God's people who have turned from what they know to be right. They've left what was right and started to go in the wrong direction. The biggest problem we have as Christians is staying on the right path. Amen? That's one of the biggest problems we have is staying on the right path. Staying right, staying on the right path, and staying focused is one of our biggest problems. As we look at Isaiah's message, we find he's preaching and he's crying aloud, showing their transgressions, and God has laid some things out for him to preach on. Now notice with me, if you would, the condemnation of the preaching in verses 2 through 7. First of all, we see the consecration of the children of Israel. They seek me daily. That's what the scripture says. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. Now he's a preaching to them because listen, they're going through the outward motions. They have the outward appearance of a righteous nation. They seek me daily. Hey, they forsook me not. And they came to me. And listen, and they ask of me and they delight in the approaching of their God or the, let me get my verse here. Forsook me not the ordinance of their God. They asked me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to their, to God. And then the scripture says that this was an outward, appearance. It seemed to be a good thing. All right, and the condemnation of Isaiah's preaching, we see their consecration was an outward show. Now, they seemed to be doing right, but in their heart they was not fully honoring God. We'll see that here in just a minute. As I said on Sunday, or whenever last time it was, I preached on the iniquity. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God does not hear my prayer. God doesn't hear me if I have sin in my heart. We talked about sin, the doing of sin, but we talked about the sin in the heart. It's called iniquity, and that stops God from hearing our prayers. In this passage of Scripture, we'll find the iniquity of Israel. They had sin in their hearts. They was going through all the motions and it looked like they was for real, but in their heart there was inward sin and they were not right with God, and the things they were doing were just an outward show to make everybody else think that they was all right. Boy, that's good preaching right there. Amen. We see the consecration, then we see the complaint. They begin to complain that God was not paying attention. Listen. The Bible says, verse number 3, wherefore we fasted and thou seest not. The people begin to complain that God wasn't listening and God wasn't paying attention to all the things they were doing. That's good preaching right there. Amen. They begin to complain that God wasn't paying attention to the things that they were doing. There's a lot of people sitting on the church pews today that complain that God's not paying attention to them and the things that they are doing. There's a reason why God's not paying attention to the things they're doing. Amen. It's because of the iniquity in their heart. A lot of times people do things to get a pat on the back, to be seen of the men, to be seen of the women, to be seen of the brethren. They do things because they want to be accepted into the crowd. It has nothing to do with godliness. The complaint, they're saying, hey God, listen, you're not paying attention to us. It was nothing but a form of godliness, and God does not accept the form of godliness. Amen. It was a form of godliness, and the scripture speaks of that, and denying the power thereof. There's a form of godliness. There's a crowd that looks like they're doing right, but the power of God is not in it. Amen. There's a group today, there's lots of religions today that has a form of godliness. It looks like on the TV screen, it looks like in the social media that it's the right thing. They're doing good. They're calling the Lord's name and bragging on Him and talking about God and talking about Jesus. And let me intersect this right here while I may. Just because the country song names the name of Jesus Christ does not make it a Christian song. Amen. Good preaching right there. I heard one this past week that like to make me yak. Amen. But just because they named the name Jesus, they call it a Christian song. That doesn't make it Christian. It's a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof, mostly because the one who's singing the song is as wicked as the day is long, and they don't know the Jesus that they're singing about. Amen, that's good preaching. I'm trying to get off of that and move on. But listen, there's a form in our day of a form of godliness, and it's nothing but pure evil and wickedness, and God's not pleased with it. See the complaint, they're complaining to God. Let me move on. The criticism we see in verse number 5. God criticizes the religious exercises of the people. Look with me. The Bible says in verse number 5, is this such a fast that I have chosen? Hey, they're saying to God, God, we've fasted, and we've fasted, and we've fasted, and we've fasted, and you've not paid any attention to us. And God says to them, is this the fast that I have chosen? You go to the book of Leviticus, you'll find in Leviticus chapter 16, chapter 29, and chapter 31, there was one fast that God commanded in the law, and they were not keeping that fast. But they were keeping many other fasts, saying a form of godliness. Look at us and all that we're doing. And God says in verse 5, is this such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day unto the Lord? God said, hey, that's not the fast I told you to fast with. That's not the day I chose for you to do that. Verse number 6, is this not the fast that I have chosen? Here's what he chose for them to do. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that they may break every yoke. Listen, God calls them out on their sin and on the form of godliness. God calls them out. Hey, that's a form of godliness. You're going through the motions and you're fasting and you're doing all these things, and it's supposed to make people think that you have righteousness and think highly of you because of who you are. But in your heart, you're wicked as the devil. Amen. In your heart, you're doing this the wrong way. You're going through this thing and you're having these fasts and doing it, trying to make everybody think you're doing something great when God says, that's not what I told you to do. Whoop. That's good preaching. Amen. A lot of times people go through the motions, do a lot of things and try to have a form of godliness when God never told them to do so. Amen and amen. Boy, this is good stuff. I'm having myself a good time. Amen. Listen, this is just Bible. This is Isaiah's message that God had commanded him to give to the people. We see the character of the preaching and the condemnation of the preaching. Not only do we see the criticism, but we see the correction. I'm glad God doesn't just criticize and God just doesn't tell us what's wrong, but God gives an alternative. Amen. God gives us a way to correct things. I was a sinner, lost and undone without Jesus Christ on my way to hell. And the scripture shows me that I was lost, and so were you. Somebody help me tonight. We was lost on our way to a devil's hell, but I'm so thankful that the God of glory, the divine character that He has, didn't stop with just showing me my sins. But He showed me a way, hallelujah, that I could correct the problem. Whoop! Amen. That'll make a Presbyterian shout if he ever gets a hold of it. Amen. Here, God had criticized them and criticized their fast and all the things that they did. The people added many other fasts which they did not have divine command for doing. But in verse number 6 and verse number 7, we see the correction. They wanted divine blessing upon their fasting and their other religious observances, the other things that they did. They let them improve upon the conduct, but not oppressing the people. Watch the Bibles. Is not this the fast I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bringest the poor to cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that hide not thyself from thine own flesh. God says to them, there's a way to correct this problem. Listen, it's not about having all these fasts that I've not commanded you to do, but what you do is you fast this way. This is divine command that you free the oppressed people, the servants and the slaves that are oppressed. Hey, you let them go. You help the needy. Amen. A lot of folks in that day were needy, but the children of Israel, the children of God, were not helping those that were needy. They was greedy and not helping the needy. And then they was doing all these fasts, and God says, that's not what I told you to do. What about that little one over there that's hungry? What about that over there that's thirsty? And you know about that, but you're not helping them. That's not what I called you to do. Amen. God says, you want to be blessed for doing these things that you do? Then you do it my way. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. Hey, you want blessings from the Lord, you do it God's way. Boy, that right there, preach, amen. If you want the blessings of the Lord, you do things God's way, and God will bless your home. God will bless your marriage. God will bless your children if you'll do it God's way, amen. Hey, listen, we want to build a church. We'll build a church, and God will bless it if we do it God's way, amen. There's a correction there. If they wanted divine blessing upon their fasting and other religious observances, then they were to improve in their conduct, but not oppressing the people. Let them help the needy. Then God would bless their religious exercise, for then it would be real and not hypocritical. The problem with them was their religious exercise was all hypocritical. It wasn't real. Hey, I remember old, what was his name that would preach over there? Not Tony Hudson. What's his son's name? Brother Clinton. Tony Hudson is Curtis Hudson. That's the dad. That's right. Tony Hudson. He said one time, I listened to him preach a message. He says, I like the real thing. And he's talking about Christians that are real. But he kind of related that to food because he's kind of a heavy guy and he likes to eat. Brother Freddie says, I don't like that blue label milk. I like that red label because it's the real thing. Amen. He said, I don't like that fat-free ice cream. He said, that stuff ain't good for you. He said, I like the real thing, the full flavor with all the sugar. I like the real thing. Amen. Didn't like the decaffeinated coffee because it wasn't the real thing. Wanted the full-flavored caffeinated stuff because that's the real stuff. Amen. Hey, that's what God wants. And in reality, God don't want some hypocritical Christian. He wants the real thing. Do it from the heart. Amen. Don't do it just because you want to impress somebody. Do it for God. Amen. God says you'll do it this way, then I'll bless you. My title for the message tonight is this, the prescription for God's blessings. The prescription for God's blessing. We see not only the character of the preaching, the condemnation of the preaching, but then we see the counseling in the preaching in the latter part of the chapter, chapter 58, verse 8 through 14. We find there that God gives the counseling in the preaching. Now, listen, every preaching ought to have some counseling in it. There's a wrong and then there's a right. Amen? There's something that's wrong, which is sin, but there's a right way to do things. That's repent of that sin, turn from our wicked ways, and do it God's way. Amen. And whenever we do that, God blesses and promises blessings on top of blessings. Let me say this tonight. If we do things God's way, and if we do it the way God says, the requirements are nowhere near what the blessings will be. Can I say that? Boy, that's just good stuff. Can I say that one more time? If we do things God's way, the requirements that God has for us are nowhere near what the blessings will be if we'll just obey Him. Amen. I'm going to run this rabbit, and I hope it don't make you mad. We're in a Baptist church, and most people get mad when you're in the Baptist church. Talk about money, but I'm going to talk about money tonight anyway. Amen. Whenever we give to the Lord, that requirement, it's not very much. It's only 10% in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, God says He loves us, He'll forgive her. The Old Testament gets us started. Most of us don't ever get away from that start point at 10%. Somebody help me right there. Amen. We don't ever get away from that. We just stay with that 10%. God says in the New Testament to the New Testament church that He loves a cheerful giver. Anyway, in that requirement is that we are to give unto the house of God. Coming on the Sabbath day, on the first day of the week, and give of what the Lord has blessed. Give back to Him what He's blessed you with. As we do that requirement, God promises blessings. I cannot tell you the many times, and I'm sure some of you can testify tonight also, that many times it was almost impossible to meet that requirement. But whenever we did, the blessings that come along with that was far more, far greater than what that requirement was. God says, if you'll do this, I'll do this. If you'll do this little bit for me, I'll do this lot for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does it say after that? All these things shall be added unto you. The problem is, most time we don't want to seek the kingdom of God first. We're seeking after those things. That's good preaching right there. Amen. Moving right along. The counsel and the preaching, verses number 8 through 14. I'm trying to hurry. Listen, and I may not finish, but if I don't, I'll come back. Amen. All right. The counsel and the preaching we see, the counsel is about the rewards for living godly. There's rewards for godly living, and the rewards were more than the requirements. Let me share with you verse number 8. The Bible says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Hey, listen, you're not going to walk around in doom and gloom and walk around in darkness all your life. If you'll obey God, God says, I'll turn your night, honey, into day. I'll take the darkness away and put some sunshine in your life. Glory, that's enough to make a shout, amen. God says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Now listen. Children of Israel were going about their day. They was going through the motions of trying to live godly, but yet in their heart they was disobeying God. They had the wrong attitude. They had the wrong actions. Listen, in their heart they had the wrong motives. They were doing what they're doing so people would see them and think that they were godly, but yet their actions from their heart and the things they were doing, oppressing the people and not feeding the needy, not helping others, people saw that. You know what kind of impact it had? It affected their character. It affected them as being an effective child of God, because God said in His Word, if you'll do these things, thy righteousness shall go before thee. Right now, people's not seeing you as righteous. They're seeing you as a hypocrite. Hello, that's a good Bible Baptist word right there. Amen. A hypocrite. That's what they were seeing. They had the form of godliness and doing all these things, but yet they were seen as a hypocrite. And God says, if you'll turn from that, if you'll do these things I've commanded you, thy righteousness shall go before thee. They won't wonder if you're right or not. They'll know by your actions. Good preaching. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call. Watch this now. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry. He shall say, here I am. Does everybody listen to that tonight? If we just obey God, the requirements that God has in His Word is to live a godly life, amen, to obey God, to be obedient to His Word, to live righteously, to live holy in this present wicked generation that we're living in. And God says, if you'll do that, then thou shalt call upon Me, and I will say, here am I. Whoop. You know how strong that is tonight? Do you know how powerful that is tonight to know that the God of heaven says if you'll do these things, these few little things, just live godly, live a godly lifestyle, don't have wickedness in your heart, don't devise evil plans, love one another, get along with each other, and help the needy, and help one another, and obey the Word of God. And there's many things in obeying the Word of God and being obedient. I don't have time to preach all that tonight. But listen, God said, if you do these things, when you call upon Me, I'll say, here am I. Time out. Don't have to wonder why so many times those prayers go unanswered. Don't have to wonder how many times we've prayed and didn't get an answer. God says, if you'll do these things and you obey Me, when you call, I'll say, here am I. I believe the Scripture also says knock, seek, ask. Does it not? Depart from iniquity. We talked about iniquity. Hey, God says to the children of Israel, if you'll just obey, and I promise you answered prayer. Boy, that's strong. That is strong preaching. To be obedient to the Word of God, to the preaching that God gives through the man of God, to be obedient to that, the rewards of that is answered prayer. God hears and God answers prayer. The rewards for godly living, one of those is answered prayers. The requirements, listen, the requirements is not as much as the rewards. All right? The requirement in the council, the requirements for the blessings are listed, but they do not mention fasting or an outward religious observances, but they do emphasize godly conduct. Look with me, verse number 9. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and putting forth of the finger, and speak in vanity, stop oppression. Godly conduct. God laid these things out for him. Verse number 9 also talks about the speaking. Sanctify your speaking. Amen. That's good stuff right there. Amen. Mean what you say, say what you mean, and speak godly words. Sanctify speaking. Support afflicted. Verse number 10, the Bible says, if I draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. Hey, support the afflicted. Verse number 13, the Bible says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, watch this now, from doing thy pleasure on My holy day. Now, I'm going to lock her down and preach a little while right here, all right? If thou turn thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on My holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own word. God says in the requirement, in the council, God says to keep the Sabbath day. Now listen, in the Old Testament, the Sabbath is on Saturday. We understand that. We know that. We study our Bibles. And since Christ died upon the cross, the Sabbath day is now the first day of the week, which is Sunday, which is the first day of the week. Upon the first day of the week, bring your tithes and offerings unto the storehouse. God commands all throughout the Scripture to keep the Sabbath day, or the Lord's day. Amen. Keep it holy. Listen, 6 days shall a man work, on the seventh he shall rest. The seventh day is the day that we're to come together to worship the Lord and to rest from our week's worth of work and to honor Him and obey Him and love Him and thank Him for all He's done for us. The problem we have is in our society, our world-loving materialism, materialistic ideas and everything else you can come up with. People would rather stay out of the house of God because they can work one extra day. Well, I can work on Sunday instead of going to church. There's some that say, well, I can't go to church on Sunday because I've got to mow the grass. I've got to go here. I've worked 6 days a week. I need my rest. I'm just going to, I know somebody that said that to me, said I've worked 6 days a week and I stay home on Sundays to get my rest. And my reply to that is, you better hope and pray God don't come on a Sunday when you're laying around being lazy. Amen. You'll be at the house of God. God said in His Word, amen, keep the Sabbath. Keep it holy. It's the day that we set aside. He says to the children of Israel, thy turn thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. This is God's people He's talking to. On the Sabbath day, they were forsaking the house of God and doing what they wanted to do. Ooh, maybe going fishing. Who knows? From doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath day a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure. Hey, listen, God says in the requirements in the council that Isaiah was preaching was to keep the Sabbath day. Sundays ought to be a special day. Amen. Sundays ought to mean something to you. I want to say to you tonight, Sundays mean something to me. Amen. I look forward to Sundays. Sunday's the day I get to go to the Lord. I look forward to Thursday nights too. Amen. I really hate it whenever I can't come or my work keeps me so tied up that it's so late when I get home and I have to rush to try to get here. I love being here, but I hate being rushed. But I'll rush so I can get here. Amen. But I love being to church on Thursday night. I love being to church on Sunday morning. And I also love being to church on Thursday or Sunday night. And I've loved that since the day that the Lord has saved me. Not just because I'm a pastor, but I've always loved being at the house of God. That's my wife. That's my girls. Hey, listen, we were faithful because God's been faithful to us. Ought to be faithful to Him. And He's blessed us for that. Amen. He blesses His children. The requirement is to be faithful to the house of God, to delight in the Lord's house, and honor Him with your presence. What do I got to go to church on Sunday night for? To honor the Lord with your presence in the house of God, because they're having church tonight. What do I need to go on Thursday night to honor the Lord with your presence? Because they're having service tonight. You ought to be there. Amen. It's good stuff. The requirement was very simple. Just be there. Amen. Love the Lord's house. Delight thyself in the Lord. Call the Sabbath day a delight. And listen, the holy of the Lord, honorable, thou shalt honor Him. Not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Verse number 14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Whenever God's honored, listen, blessings will come. The prescription, listen, God's prescription for blessings is to honor Him. Live a holy life. Live a godly life. Don't put on a show for others to see, but live holy, live righteously in this present world. Amen. Isaiah's preaching to the children of Israel, and the message was, listen, to cry loud, spare not, show my people their sins. Show them what they're doing. Tell them what they're doing that's wrong. And they had a hypocritical attitude and a hypocritical way. They was doing things to make everybody think they was okay, but in their heart, they was pleasing themselves. We'll take heed tonight and listen real closely to what the Word of God has to say. We're not to please ourselves, we're to please Him. Amen? We're to live our life not to please ourselves, but to honor Him. Honor Him in our character, in our speech. Everything that we do ought to honor the Lord. Amen. There's nothing wrong with having fun. I'm not against having fun. I love to have fun. Me and my wife say this all the time. If you can't have a little fun, you might as well leave. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with having fun. But listen, don't lose your character. Don't be ungodly having your fun. Amen. God's blessings will come upon those that serve Him with a whole heart. Amen. The blessings of the Lord. How do you get the blessings of the Lord? Just honor Him, obey Him. Preacher, I don't like that word obey. Well, a lot of people don't, but you want the blessings of God, you'll obey Him. Amen. You want the blessings of the Lord on your life and on your family and on your children, you'll obey Him. Let me say this for the sake of the children that's here tonight, the new parents and all that. You want the blessings of God on your family. You want the blessings of God on your children. You obey the Word of God when God says to you how to train your child. Train them up in the way they should go. When they are old, they will not depart from it. Reprove, rebuke, amen. Hey, listen, the rod of correction to the seed of learning when they get old enough. You reprove them, you correct them, you teach them, you train them. And you do all of that in love, not in anger. That's a whole nother message. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your grace.